of abilities and powers. Say, for example, he can launch airplanes and spaceships which can travel far distances. Just like tomorrow I'm supposed to leave to go to Mayapur. So within, 24 hours or so, 30 hours, to be able to reach some faraway place. So how can an ant imagine, he cannot even go from here to the other end of Nuvarsan in one day. You see, unless he happens to somehow get in the car. So the dimension on which the Supreme Lord is operating is just way beyond our tiny imagination. Fortunately, Krishna kindly is giving us some information, some idea about that by coming and personally appearing and giving instructions and empowering his pure devotees to instruct us, so that we do have some inkling of an idea. And by performing these pastimes, such as this particular pastime, the Lord shows his prowess, his strength. We can measure up a little bit the kind of strength that human beings or even demigods can muster up, and then compare it in some degree to the Lord's prowess. And after all, Nrsingadev is just one of the incarnations of the Lord. The Lord has got unlimited incarnations, just as there are waves on the sea. Unlimited incarnations. So Nrsingadev is one of those, and he's manifesting a certain aspect of the Lord's prowess. He's a personification of the Lord, personified. The anger of the Lord personified. So he therefore has immense strength. Now, you can imagine, say, some battle going on in the material world, like there have been so many wars. Second World War, for example, they had this battle of Stalingrad. That was the final battle, pretty much, that finished off the Germans. So that battle went on for 1 year. And there were way over 1 million soldiers on each side. And probably between both sides, close to 1 million people died, something like that. So they were locked in combat. They had such prowess, both sides. So many kinds of weapons and machines and planes. And still they were unable to. But here you can see Hiranyakashipu, he had such an army of persons, probably much stronger than, the German army or the Russian army. Far more powerful. These demons were, they were not ordinary human beings. They were very powerful personalities. Hiranyakashipu actually occupied the throne of King Indra. So, the demigods are much more powerful than human beings. But these demons were so powerful they could defeat the demigods. So you can understand that this army was, much bigger than any army that could be mustered on the surface of this earth. But yet Nrsingadev, he would just, destroy the whole lot just like that, but just with the ends of his nails. It was just like an insignificant effort for him to get rid of all those soldiers. What to speak of Hiranyakashipu himself, who thought that he had actually become invincible, immortal, having so many benedictions from such a personality as Brahma. So, in this way, we can understand something of the prowess of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord, he is not pleased by the activities of demons. Because the Lord is affectionate towards his devotees. The Lord has actually expanded so many living entities because he likes to enjoy loving relationships with them. And he's especially affectionate towards his devotees. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshu stinapriya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya Maiti Teshu Chapihan. I envy no one, and I am not partial to anyone, Krishna said. But if one renders service to me in devotion, he is a friend. He is in me, and I am a friend to him. So, Krishna wants to give everyone the opportunity to serve him, and he wants to reciprocate in love with everyone, and he is welcoming everyone in the spiritual sky. And there's so many kinds of rasas which the devotees are enjoying with Krishna, and there's so much service to do there, it's unlimited. So Krishna has that scope that he can welcome everyone into his own abode, he can accommodate everyone, he can show personal attention to everyone, and he's more than willing or keen, he's most enthusiastic, we can say, to have everyone come there and live peacefully with him. So he's not impressed by these activities of demons. They're so foolish and so disturbing, and especially when they attack the Lord's devotees, then the Lord becomes angry with them, and he comes and he chastises them or destroys them. So there are so many instances in the Shastra when the demigods were in difficulty. And the demigods, mind you, they're not blameless, because they have different kind of material desires. That's why they're in this material world. They're devotees, but having some material desires. So because of that, they get themselves into difficulty. And there is some kind of reaction, in a sense, for that, in the form of this disturbance from demons. So sometimes the demons get so powerful that they push down these demigod devotees, and the demigods have to appeal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord, he's in close link with the demigods. After all, the demigods' position is to administrate in this material world. So they have a much closer linkage with the Supreme Lord than we do. Actually, there's some nice description in Sadaputta's recent book about Vedic cosmology, where he's describing how previously, when the human society was much more elevated, there was a much closer link with higher powers. The demigods used to visit this planet regularly. There's a lot of communication with them. But gradually, as the Kali Yuga has progressed, then the demigods have become uninterested to come to this planet anymore. And gradually, while these Shastras, Vedic knowledge, it was very much alive and, you can say, contemporary. The knowledge was very contemporary in the sense that there were visits of demigods and a lot of dealings with them. Since the demigods have stopped coming here, at least visibly, to the human society, so then human beings have started to lose faith in Vedic instruction, and they're depending more and more on simply their own sense perception. So like that, the tendency then is to consider this all to be mythology. It's just impossible. How could it really have happened? It just seems too far-fetched to a lot of people. So this is just due to, you know, sinking into the modes of passion and ignorance, and sinking down more to an animalistic platform of life. Just like the ant or the insect, they're not enlightened beings. They're locked up in that tiny body, and they're just in a completely dark, ignorant state of life. So the demigods had and still have a lot of contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, if there was some disturbance like this, they could immediately make contact with him, and he also would reciprocate and come and take care of the situation. Just like when the earth, Bhumi, was disturbed by the Kshatriyas, the demoniac Kshatriyas, 5,000 years ago, then she went to Brahma, and Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk and sweat and sleep and meditated on the Lord. And then the Lord gave him instructions that he was going to appear in his original form, and that the demigod should be instructed to take birth on the earthly planet. So like that, there was quick action. But nowadays that linkage with the demigods is very much broken, and consequently linked with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also broken. But fortunately, in the Bhagavatam, the principles of religion have been retained. It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself that the Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun and has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. See, all these wonderful things, these good things, they went away also when Krishna departed and Kali Yuga started. But still it is said, persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance from the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. And it is also mentioned that the Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God and is compiled by Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all blissful, all successful, and all perfect. So, for those who are seriously inquisitive and seriously desirous of making contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is possible through the via media of the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said that if one attentively hears the Bhagavatam, one can actually meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the pages of the Bhagavatam. So in this way, Krishna has still left that possibility of making connection with Him, link with Him. But one simply has to understand and become trained in the way to link with Krishna. And similarly, He has appeared again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and He has stressed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Kaliya dosha nide rajan hastiye mahan gunha kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param braja. That Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality, that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can get rid of all material attachment, and he can attain to the transcendental platform, to the spiritual platform. So, when Krishna appeared, he showed himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he left instructions in the form of the Shastras, but still, many people, they could not gain access, or they could not understand how to actually practice Krishna consciousness. So, Lord Chaitanya's appearance is so important, because it shows us, practically, it demonstrates to us how in Kali Yuga, any person, he can take shelter of Krishna, and he can make that connection with Krishna. It doesn't require high education, bodily beauty, doesn't require great wealth or respectable parentage. These things are, of course, maybe sometimes helpful to be born in a pious family or some pious situation, but still even the most fallen persons, they can become linked up with Krishna through this process of Harinam Sankirtan. So that is the Lord's great mercy, and that is the way in which the demoniac element can be destroyed. In Kali Yuga, it is said that the demon and devotee are there in the same body, in the sense that everyone has got the potential either to be demon or to be devotee. And we can see in our own lives that previously we were performing demoniac activities. If we look at the activities of karmis today from the position of being in Krishna consciousness, then we can see, just by looking, you can see that so sinful, so demoniac, no proper understanding of the purpose of life, no consideration for the desires of the Lord, no consideration for the fact that others are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, at least in the case of most people. And they're breaking all the principles, not understanding that those activities are so harmful for them. So they don't know what is their real self-interest. So when a devotee sees it, when a person who is following the regular principles, chanting Hare Krishna, when he sees that, he can immediately understand that this is demonic activity. It is harmful for the person concerned. It is harmful for others. It's a disturbance in the whole society. It's pushing everyone down into ignorance. So, most of The devotees were previously engaged in those kind of activities in this very lifetime. But this process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that has made such a transformation in the lives of the persons who have entered the Krishna consciousness movement. So this is because Krishna is personally present in his name, he is personally present in the Bhagavatam, he is personally present in the process of Bhakti Yoga, and he is personally present in the ISKCON movement, in the Sankirtan movement. So in this way, Krishna's personal presence, because he is Pavitram Idam Uttamam, he is the supreme pure, the supreme purifier, so his presence is purifying the consciousness of the devotees. So that's why to maintain oneself in Krishna consciousness and to push aside this demonic influence, one has to constantly engage in chanting Krishna's name, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, and engaging oneself in devotional service. Because if one is constantly associating with non-devotees, then in so many subtle and also gross ways, there'll be effect, materialistic effect, demonic effect. And if one doesn't counteract that by sufficient hearing and chanting, then gradually his Krishna consciousness, it may be covered over again. And he can even lose his link with Krishna altogether. So that's why, especially in the neophyte stage, one has to be very strict in adhering to vidhi, to rules and regulations in his sadhana. And this will, even though there are rules and regulations, still they're not ordinary rules and regulations, because the rules and regulations are actually simply ways to help us to associate with Krishna. We say chant 16 rounds every day, that's a rule, but it's a way of associating with Krishna. It's one of the most important ways in which a devotee associates with Krishna, and in this way purifies his consciousness. So this is the weapon, as Maharaj was quoting yesterday, the Lord has appeared, Sangopangastra Parshadam, he's appeared with his associates and he's appeared with his weapons. But the weapon of Lord Chaitanya is the holy name. Although occasionally he did show his Sudarshan Chakra to Jagai and Madai. He showed it, but he ultimately didn't use it. And when he also took the form of Nrisingha Chaitanya and he ran through the streets of Navadvip, he also had a chakra, but He didn't kill anybody. He frightened a few people. So, the main weapon that the Lord is using is the holy name. So that's the same weapon that we have to use. We have to use it, first of all, we have to use it on ourselves. Because the first demon that we have to curb down is the one inside us. See, if that demon can be curbed, then one is, that's the greatest victory. That's the main victory. If that demon can be curbed, then one can become peacefully situated in Krishna consciousness, and then he'll be in a position of strength to actually help others. And a devotee who advances, he can become very powerful. You know, his expertise in wielding that particular weapon of holy name and shastra, in other words, his ability to become an expert preacher, that can be developed, more and more and more. And until he can become so powerful, just like Srila Prabhupada, he's so powerful that he created such a revolution in human society, spiritual revolution, which has now such far-reaching effects, and it's unstoppable. You know, Prabhupada got up such a momentum in the preaching movement that it's just, that momentum is carrying on. It's carried on to every corner of the world. And, still the devotees are just, pounding the world with books and prasadam and the holy name and different festivals. And so in this way, Krishna conscious movement is gaining strength. And our, say, Mayapur city is becoming developed more and more. Every year we go to Mayapur, we see more and more devotees are coming. And they're having to build, more and more accommodations to just to house everybody. So in that way, the Krishna conscious movement has so much momentum now that it cannot be stopped. So simply we have to remain as part of that movement, because not only individually we can convince people to become Krishna conscious, but also just by the sheer wit of such a big movement with so many people in it. It will attract so much attention. Prabhupada said that if all the Western devotees go to Mayapur and do parikrama there, chanting intensely, it will attract the attention of the top leaders in India, so many top leaders throughout the world will become attracted eventually. They will notice Hare Krishna movement. It's like yesterday our Lord Mayor, he came, he took the trouble to come and speak and walk quite a distance. He had some meeting, but his wife stayed. And she walked right till the end of the parade. She stayed around talking to the devotees afterwards. So Lord Mayor is the top man here. And even the, who is it, what's the governor general? So she also was the previous Lord Mayor. So she also knows the devotees well. And when the Queen came, I was there at that time, she brought the Queen over to, meet the Gurukul children, get a garland. So like that, Krishna conscious movement, even here in this country, which is not one of the major countries of the world, but still can attract so much attention from top leaders. And in the newspaper, that article that was published today, it said, as always, the Hare Krishna movement is very noticeable. And, yesterday in Queen Street, it was especially noticeable. So like that, this is happening more and more and more. So that in that way, the movement by weight of numbers is gaining momentum. And also devotees, as they mature, stay longer and longer in Krishna consciousness, they're also gathering momentum in their spiritual lives. So this is the only way to counteract the influence of Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga is also gaining momentum. The demons are also there in another kind of momentum. They're in a sliding down momentum, down into the hellish conditions of life. And you can just see that in the transformation of the culture, so-called culture, art, culture, music, even over the last few hundred years. Most of the people in this country are coming from European background, some people here may be from German, German background, or Yugoslavian background, or British background, or Egyptian background, whatever it happens to be. But so all those countries, they have, so many churches, mosques, where people go to worship. In their music, a few hundred years ago, was all concentrated on glorification of God. All this Bach, Handel, all these composers. The paintings were all religious paintings. Michelangelo, Raphael, all painting religious themes. But nowadays, what is the music? It's just Guns and Roses. And, 80,000 in Sydney, some 85,000 people in Melbourne, 80,000 people going to see this. It means they're flying in from all over Australia, just to see this degraded group of people, perform some antics on the stage. And, the lyrics are all completely mundane. Probably you couldn't even hear them anyway, because, there's so much loud screeching and, abominable sounds. Similarly, the art is all, nowadays modern art, isn't it? Just, stick a cigarette packet and a beer can on a on a piece of paper or something like that. Some cigarette stubs, and they call them modern art. So like that, and the buildings also in Europe, there are so many beautiful churches. It may take hundreds of years to build some of them. But nowadays the buildings are all just, square concrete blocks. So the culture is gone away practically altogether. It's just a civilization of how to engage in sense gratification, and practically no interest in spiritual life whatsoever. And more intoxication. It's like such big drug problems that was reported in Back to Godhead, how, 40 years ago in the schools, the list of the 8 principal problems, running in the corridor, not throwing paper in the basket in the corner, maybe answering back to the teacher or something like that. But now, what are the problems? They're listed there. Murder, rape, drug addiction, etc., etc. I mean, like very heavy problems which are going on even among the children who are supposed to be the young innocent ones. But they don't remain innocent very long. You know, they remain innocent maybe up till they're 12 years of age or so, and then they start to perform all kinds of sinful activities right away, because so much progress has been made in Kali Yuga, and the non-devotees, they're completely caught up in it, just like the devotees get caught up in the Sankirtan movement. So the non-devotees are caught up in that activity. There's so much social pressure, peer pressure, to engage in all these kinds of sinful activities. There was a newspaper report in Australia which said that some minister, he had just held his first sermon, public sermon, in a bar. You know, because, you know, people don't come to church anymore, so they're all in the bar. So the most practical thing, therefore, is to go and have a drink with them, and over a drink, you know, also give a sermon about God. You see, so this, but you know, this kind of sermon, no doubt, just some drunken talk. But this is a trend in Kali Yuga. Most probably, in a few years, this will be completely accepted. This will be the actual place to go, and the way to preach or talk about God. Of course, that talk of God is not bona fide talk. It is all actually speculation. When the ministers start to engage in such activities, so in this way, the demons are falling down, and they're getting reaction also. Prabhupada mentions how, due to so much animal slaughter, there will be so many wars in the human society. And we can see it. So many horrible wars have taken place in this century. The weapons they have now are so sophisticated, and they can inflict such horrible suffering on people. And they didn't make these weapons just to keep them, you know, sitting in some warehouse. They made them to use them, and they are using them, just like all these chemical weapons. They use them. So this is so horrible, so disgusting. And if they don't stop, then they'll get more and more reaction. And as Prabhupada said here, the Supreme Lord at some point, there may be cutoff point at which he'll just destroy everything. Of course, it is predicted in the Bhagavatam at the end of Kali Yuga that will happen. The Lord will come. He'll just finish off all these demons. But it could even happen earlier. So how to avoid it? It has to be counteracted by the preaching of Krishna consciousness. This is the only hope. Whilst people still have some intelligence, some possibility to understand Krishna consciousness and understand their relationship with the Lord, we have to preach very vigorously, very enthusiastically. Therefore, the devotees who are in the movement, they have to work overtime and put out a lot of energy to distribute books and to go out, do Harinam. Every time the devotees go out on Harinam Sankirtan, so many people are benefited, so many people see the devotees, some for the first time, and people become attracted. Every time people come to the temple, they become attracted. Their lives may be changed, just like Maharaj was telling me how the Lady Mara said that her mother came on a group tour to New Varsan 2 years ago, and she got some prasadam, and she was so impressed, and she liked the prasadam so much that from that very day she became vegetarian. She stopped eating meat, fish and eggs. When she went out of New Varsan, she never took meat, fish and eggs again. So that's how the Lady Maris knew about ISKCON. So she was very, you know, much impressed, and she wanted to find out more. That's why she spent so much time with the devotees yesterday. So we can see that the effect, the potency of the Krishna conscious movement, it can, you know, change so many people's lives. Even though the people are so set in their sinful habits and demonic habits, it's not easy for them to change, especially these older people with so much social pressure. Can you imagine? It must be very difficult for a lady like that to actually become a vegetarian, but the visit here gave her so much strength and determination. She experienced, obviously she experienced higher test. So, of course, we're giving that higher test to so many people, and even though they test it, still they cannot, somehow they cannot hold on to it. They're again become engulfed in the lower test. But still, we have to go on pounding away, you know, on the heads and the hearts of these demoniac people. Just go on flooding the whole world with Krishna consciousness. There was a question asked of Harikesh Maharaj in Moscow last time he was there. What happens when everyone on the planet gets a Bhagavad Gita? So then he said, well, then we'll sell everyone a Srimad Bhagavatam set. And they've all got Bhagavatam set, we'll sell them all Chaitanya Charitamrita set. And when they've all got all the books, then we have a huge kirtan and the whole planet will float back to Vaikuntha. So, this is the idea. We have to go on flooding the world with Krishna consciousness. And that's such ecstatic activity. Devotees become so much enlivened when they go out together to preach and distribute Krishna consciousness. It has a special, there's a special taste in that preaching activity. So of course we all have different kinds of responsibilities. Some have services here in the temple, some have family responsibilities. But still we should try to organize our lives in such a way that we can get out there as much as possible and push forward the Krishna consciousness movement, and in this way get a bit of a taste of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Everyone's getting the mercy, but that's a special mercy if one can give Krishna consciousness to others. Those who come to the temple also, we should take the trouble to speak to them and to explain to them about Krishna consciousness so that they feel the hospitality of Vedic culture also. So that, therefore Lord Chaitanya, he told Kurma Brahmana, Jari Dekotarikaha Krishna Upadeshamaragya Guruha Tareidesh, and Prabhupada kept repeating that verse again and again. It's practically the sloka that he quoted most. Probably if you counted up how many times Prabhupada quoted each sloka, probably he quoted that sloka more than any other sloka. That whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. In this way you become guru and you deliver the whole world. So this is the desire of Prabhupada, all the acharyas. It's the desire of Lord Chaitanya. It's the desire of Krishna. So we should always be looking for that opportunity to give Krishna consciousness to others. Because if one has got spiritual knowledge, if he gives it to others, his spiritual knowledge increases, it matures, and he makes progress in spiritual life. If he has spiritual knowledge and he doesn't share it with others, then his knowledge will dry up. So we need to keep ourselves in Krishna consciousness. We need to give this knowledge to others. So this is the means then to combat the influence of the godless civilization and to establish God-centered, Krishna-centered civilization, society. So, Hare Krishna. Any question or comment? Maharaj.
I just wanted to ask one. Speaking with last moment, I mentioned that she could come here for lunch. So she said she's very interested in receiving an invitation to come to lunch with her husband. She said, even if my husband's too busy, she said, I promise I'll come personally. Just like to mention to the leaders of the community here that they should take some steps, probably within the next few days, because it's still in their mind, to invite the mayors out here, and maybe she'll come with her husband.
Yesterday, Lord Jagannath brought a young businessman here, pulled him out of his apartment in the morning, took a walk down to where we were starting here, the chant, and joined us for the whole rest of the day. He was the young man sitting with me yesterday at Prasadam. He'd been to Sweetwaters at Prasadam. After he took his first few bites of Prasadam yesterday, he said, from now on, I'm fully vegetarian.
Any other point? All right, so we'd like to thank all the devotees for coming. and participating in this wonderful festival. It's always so inspiring to see all the devotees come together in the glorification of Krishna. And we should go out again to our respective services and respective places with increased enthusiasm and determination. So, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Shri Radha Giridhari ki Jai. Jagannath Subhadra Baladev ki Jai. Shri Gornitai ki Jai. Gaura Pre